because I had one good news. The transcript that we have been talking about last year, 12 September 2013 transcript on the meditation talk in Brother Suyan's house the Thursday night, it has been completed. So I have brought along quite a number of copies. For those who don't have, you can get it, get a copy each. If you already have, you just leave it for the rest. Then for those who have trouble reading the small print, you can come and exchange for the bigger one. Those whose eyesight not so good, you want a bigger print, you can have this copy in exchange. Okay. So this talk is one of the typical Thursday class talk. But this 12 September, like I explained to you all, was a very unique one because the way the question was asked, they brought about very good condition for a lot of essential dhammas and even the practices to be explained in detail. Then there are quite a number of explanations regarding the cultivation, especially the last question by Sister Ingby, I think, on development or cultivation of samadhi in daily life. So that question bring about a very good condition for me to explain the actual process where you can develop that cultivation, then how it brings about the various transformation leading to the enlightenment and all those things. All those were clearly explained there. It will help you later on as you progress along the path of Dhamma, as you cultivate, then you will understand the deep meaning within. And it can bring forth actually a very good opportunity for all those who are serious about the cultivation to actually awaken. Okay, so with that, we can start. We will start our puja. Then after that, we will commence our Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness meditation. Okay, we will do the Theravada version of the chanting because we finish our heart sutta. So we will chant. Maybe the opening chant we can still retain. We get Miss Lee to help us to do the Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Po three times, the respect. Then Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Then after that, we will start the Theravada Puja chanting. Okay. You pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then Sister Lee will chant.
Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Po.
Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Po.
Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Po.
Namo Kuan Sing Pusa.
Namo Kuan Sing Pusa.
Namo Kuan Sing Pusa.
Okay, we will commence the salutation to the Buddha, the Theravada tradition.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā virmani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Ādīnādānā virmani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācārā virmani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā virmani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Surāmeraya macchāpamādathāna virmani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Relax yourself and maintain some form of attention. Then we will start. Okay, before we really go into the Satipatthana Sutta proper, I just want to explain a little bit about the book that we just gave out, the transcript on the 12 September 2013 meditation. This book comes about because of contribution from Kayanamitas. Through the Kayanamita funds, we have printed about 200 copies for free distribution to all those who have the affinity to receive them, so that they may find it useful, so that it can bring about causes and conditions for all those cultivators to develop the true understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this is a very important guide for your future understanding of meditation. So if you read through this book slowly and clearly, almost all of the essential Dhamma, the important thing that you need to know about meditation are clearly explained, including teaching you how to do, how to develop the focus, the cultivation and the training, and why you do them. Means you meditate with understanding. Then what are the conditions that is needed for you to progress? Then as you progress, how all the insight, all the wisdom can arise naturally through the silent mind, through the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and all those things. So it is very important that you read through slowly. Then you can also rejoice because you are part of the Kayanamitta that donated for the printing out this transcript for free distribution. We rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We rejoice with all the wholesomeness of all those Kayanamitas and Dhamma friends who has helped to bring about the condition for this book to be printed and distributed to all those who have the affinity for free. So this is the first part. Then now we will commence this what they call Satipatthana Sutta. This is a Pali word. Satipatthana, like you see, there are two words. Satipatthana. Then Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. So the discourse of the Buddha, which they call it Satipatthana, is actually the teaching on the four foundation of mindfulness. So sati is mindfulness. Patthana is like the foundation of mindfulness. Means how you develop this sati cultivation by anchoring them to the four foundation of mindfulness that are very essential for your cultivation. So some book use the word arousing of mindfulness. Some use the foundation of mindfulness. Both has its usage and appropriateness. Foundation means you need something that is very firm for you to stand on, understand not? So the four foundations are very important for you to develop the cultivation of this meditation. The Buddha say if you develop sati on these four foundations, enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. Then in the opening statement, you turn to the first page. Oh, sorry, this is the Pali version. Never mind. The first page, second paragraph. Ekayano ayang bhikkhave mago. Satanang visuddhi sokha paridava nan samati kamaya dukkha domanasanang atang gamaya nayasa ahiga maya nibanasa sacikri yaya yadidam cetaro sati patana. So the English translation, you have to turn to page 33, okay. So this page 33 is very important. Here, the Buddha, actually, they call it the Blessed One. They say, thus have I heard at one time the Blessed One, which is Lord Sakyamuni Buddha, was living in Kurus at Kamasadama, a market town of the Kuru people. Then the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhu as follows. This is the part I recite in Pali just now. Now it's a translation. Ekayano ayang bhikkhave bhikkhu. Ekayano is this. O bhikkhu is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. So whatever meditation you do, finally, you cannot come back to the four foundations of mindfulness. That is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha, understand? Then within these four foundations of mindfulness, the first foundation is Kaya. Kaya is our physical body. So within this physical body, there are a lot of meditation object that you can use to develop that mindfulness. Like your breathing is one of the object of meditation that is within your Kaya, your form, your physical body. Because every moment of living life,
you need to actually breathe. If you don't breathe, maybe it's for some who can take their breath for quite long. It will last you a few minutes. Yeah. But if you go beyond the 5 minutes, I think most people will die. If you are suffocated without the oxygen, just like the divers, then they go down. Without the oxygen, they cannot last very long. Even if you can go deep for 1 minute, you are very good. So this breathing is one aspect of kaya. That's why within kaya nupassana, later on as we go in, the first cultivation, the first category of sati that you develop is anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Satipatthana Sutta, the first foundation of mindfulness is kaya nupassana. So nupassana, the word is very important. Pasana is to insight into. Nu is to contemplate. So this is the mindfulness to develop the contemplative wisdom and to insight into the three characteristics of nature via the first foundation, which the Buddha called kaya. That is the meaning of kaya nupassana. That's why you see in the Buddhist teaching, when the Buddha teach contemplative dhamma or contemplative wisdom following the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, he recommended a few. You heard of this word in Buddha Nusati. Means you contemplate on the nine great virtue of the Buddha. Then you got Dhamma Nusati. Then you got Sangha Nusati. Then you got Marana Nusati. These are all Nusati, object of contemplation to develop the wisdom. Whereas when you come to development of insight, it's Vipassana. Understand not? Vi is the three characteristics. Pasana is to insight into the three characteristics. But in the four foundation of mindfulness, it's not kaya pasana, no. It's a kaya nupassana, understand not? Means you make use of the first foundation of mindfulness, which is the kaya, to develop the contemplative wisdom and to insight into the characteristics of nature. That is the purpose of kaya nupassana. Then second foundation is vedana nupassana. Vedana is feeling. You have to develop the foundation of mindfulness on feeling to develop the contemplative wisdom and insight into the three characteristics of nature. That's why it's called Vedana Nupassana. Means you contemplate and reflect and insight into the characteristic via the foundation of Vedana, feeling. Then subsequently, the third foundation is Chitta. Chitta here means the content of consciousness. All of your mind state, the content within. Then Chitta Nupassana is the same. You contemplate and reflect into it and insight into it through that four foundation of mindfulness training. And Chitta is the third foundation. The last foundation is Dhamma Nupassana. Means you reflect, contemplate, and insight into the characteristics of nature to develop the insight wisdom needed for enlightenment or liberation of mind. Using the last foundation of mindfulness, which is the Dhamma. The Dhamma are the essential teachings of the Buddha. All of the essential truth that he teach, that he has proclaimed. That's why within the last foundation, Dhamma Nupassana, you realize the last category of practice is what? What is the last category of practice? What type of Dhamma? What type of Dhamma? Anybody? Nobody? I mentioned this so many times already. Within Dhamma Nupassana, the first category is the five hindrance. Remember? Mindfulness of the five hindrance. Then you have to develop mindfulness of the... What is the second category of practice? The five aggregate of form and mind. Remember? Then the third category of practice is what? Mindfulness of what? The internal six sense basis and the external six sense basis. Understand not? To understand how you function as a human being. How consciousness come to be. How it condition you into all the various mind state that trigger off all the so-called evil roots or defilement that actually bring about suffering within the living beings. Then after that, you move on to the fourth category of practice. The fourth category of Dhamma that you must understand is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. As they arise, you must be aware. So when you are aware of these seven factors of enlightenment, then you know you are very close to enlightenment. Because if you are not close, the factors of enlightenment will not arise. As the factor of enlightenment arise, it will prepare you to develop the insight wisdom to become enlightened. So the last category of cultivation within the Dhammanupassana, fourth foundation cultivation, is the four noble truth. You have to develop mindfulness of the four noble truth. That's why finally you come back to cultivate the four noble truth. And within this four noble truth, you got the three turnings, which the Buddha mentioned under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon that he delivered immediately after his enlightenment to the five ascetics. So these four noble truths are the most important. That's why at the end of the day, the real meditation is mindfulness of the four noble truths. And within this four noble truths, you have the last noble truth, which is the noble eightfold path. That's why at the end of the day, it will lead you back to the noble eightfold path. And within the noble eightfold path, there's a noble path factor of sati, mindfulness, the seventh path factor. That one you need to fulfill the four foundation of mindfulness. And that's why this four foundation of mindfulness is the only way. And without that, you cannot awaken. Even with that, after you develop certain insight, you develop certain type of wisdom, especially insight with respect to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self nature, or empty nature of all phenomenal conditioned world existence. So this aspect of cultivation is the most important. So that's why I always tell you all, whatever meditation you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the four foundation of mindfulness and finally to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life through heedfulness, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So these four foundation of mindfulness will complete the whole cultivation of the Four Noble Truth, especially the Fourth Noble Truth, which is mindfulness of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which will lead to the end of all suffering, which will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. And it is given the assurance at the end of the sutta. The Buddha said, you turn to page 51, assurance of attainment. The Buddha assured all the monks at that time. He said, "Verily, O Bhikkhu, should any person maintain the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation or the four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, then by him
one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here in the now means sainthood. Eh? If some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner, which is the anagami state, eh? The third stage of supramundane friction or fulfillment. O bhikkhu, let alone 7 years, should a person maintain these four arousing of mindfulness or the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 6 years, for 5 years, for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, then by him, one of the two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here and the now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of non-returner, which is the anagami state, eh? The third stage of sainthood. Then the Buddha continued, O bhikkhu, let alone 1 year, should any person maintain this four arousing of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 7 months, then by him one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner. Then the Buddha continues it, O bhikkhu, let alone 7 months, should any person maintain this four arousing of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, even half a month, then by him, one of the two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here and now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner, which is the third stage of sainthood, anagami. O bhikkhu, let alone half a month, should any person maintain this four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for a week, you only need 7 days actually. Then by him, one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner, which is the third stage of sainthood, anagami. And because of this, was it said, this is the only way, O bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment of Nibbana, namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. Thus spoke the Blessed One, satisfied. The bhikkhu approved of his words. This is how powerful this four foundation of mindfulness is. So now, you understand. Eh? And this is really something that will give you a lot of confidence. Just like during the Buddha's time, he spoke this sutta to give a lot of confidence to the monk at that time. And the reason why I want to quote all this is because I want you to be motivated. A lot of people always complain or grumble. Ratio so difficult. I cannot make it this life. No way is it. If you yourself lack confidence, then how can you develop the cultivation, Anasana? The Buddha already told you, you only need 1 week actually. That's all you need. If you diligently cultivate. So 1 week is very fast. Isn't it? Our retreat got 10 days. You got surplus 3 days. That's why when you understand this sutta and you understand how to develop the cultivation, you progress very fast. And if you are really, really serious about the cultivation and you have great faith in what the Buddha's words are, it will bring forth the condition for you to diligently cultivate. And through that very strong sadha faith in the Buddha and his teaching, it will bring forth the spiritual faculty that is needed for you to develop this cultivation.
So this is the introduction on how important this sutta is, how powerful this sutta is, and how it is connected to all his other teaching. Okay? So far, any question or not? If there is anything that you're not sure, you can ask. Any question or not regarding this sutta? How many of you have got no knowledge at all about this sutta? Haven't even heard the word Satipatthana? Or four foundations of mind? So many. Oh, I must explain a bit more. Thank you for letting me know. This word is a Pali word. For those who are from the Mahayana tradition, maybe when I mention the equivalent Mandarin translation, you will understand. They call it the Si Nian Chu. You heard of this? Kaya is body. Sing Nian Chu. Vedana is feeling. So Nian Chu. Then mind is Chitta. Sing Nian Chu. Then Fa Nian Chu. So these are the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why they always say you cultivate from the Kaya, you move to Vedana. Vedana, you move to mind. Chitta. Chitta, you move to Dhamma. And the Buddha always said, it is within this phantom-length body, along with mindfulness, perception, and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of arising of this world, the cessation of this world, and the path that lead to the cessation of this world. Means what? Means from this phantom-length body, he can become enlightened, anasana. Because when he talked about, he proclaimed the world, the cause of the rising of this world. World is what? Means samsara, anasana, which is existence. So existence is equated to suffering, dukkha, because there's a noble truth that talk about the noble truth of suffering, dukkha. So he said he proclaimed the world, means the noble truth of dukkha. Then he proclaimed the cause of arising of the world, which is the arising of suffering, dukkha. Then he proclaimed the cessation of the world, which is the cessation of dukkha. Then he proclaimed the path that lead to this cessation, which is the Four Noble Truth. So this Four Noble Truth, when you have developed it, you become enlightened. That's why he said within this phantom-length body, he just cultivate from this form and mind with sati, mindfulness, perception and thought, he became enlightened. Why is it possible? You ask yourself, how do you connect the two? The four foundation of mindfulness that he said, this is the only way, O bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for reaching the right path, for the realization of the enlightenment, nibbana. What is the similarity? One is four foundation, the other one is this phantom-length body. How do you connect them? Can you all follow what I said or not? Actually, I have explained this quite a number of times, you know. Even in the Heart Sutta, it's all in the notes. I already make it so clear to you, you know, how do you connect these two? How can this form and mind alone allow you to become enlightened? The four foundations of mindfulness, you must develop one. Mindfulness of what? The four foundation is that the only thing you need to link is, can I see the four foundation within this phantom-like body of mind, the form and mind of mind? Can or not? You surely can, is that it? First foundation is what?
Kaya. Kaya is what? Physical body. You have the physical body here, isn't it? Correct or not? It's within you. What is the second foundation? You arise feeling every moment of your sense activity. Your conscious moment of what they call interaction with the world. So feeling come and go, constantly arise within your form and mind. It's the aggregate within that is very, very active. Well, upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling, condition, craving. Craving, condition, grasping and all these things. You will see them in your meditation. So the second foundation, which is feeling, is also within your mind. What about the third foundation? What is it? Citta. Citta is what? Content of consciousness. Understand? So every moment of activity of mind means you arise a consciousness. There is a content within anasana. And what are the content? The content within are your aggregate of mind. They call sankara. Anasana. And sankara is inclusive of vedana and sanya. That's why sankara is a very, very important word within the teaching. That's why the Buddha always explained it this way. He said, sabbe sankara anicchang. Sabbe sankara dukkang. The word sankara every time appear. Why don't he say sabbe rupa vedana sanya sankara vinyana anicchang? He just used one word, sankara. Because this sankara almost cover everything. The mental form also inside that. So sankara is the content of consciousness. Everything that your mind can do. All of the mental states. All of the content of consciousness, like your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, your five hindrances, your spiritual faculties, all of your mind states, your mental intention, your mental volition, and all of your mental formation, your planning, scheming, everything that your mind can do, these are sankara. And when you develop citta nupassana, you're supposed to develop mindfulness on its content. That's why this, the Buddha always say, when your consciousness has this content of greed, you must be aware. When the evil roots of greed is there, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has this evil roots of hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, you must be aware. When your content of consciousness has this evil roots of delusion, you must be aware. Fear, you must be aware. So this is how you train your mind to develop the understanding of who you are, and what is this five aggregate of form and mind are. And how through delusion, you deludedly grasp, cling onto them and get yourself entangled with life, and how suffering is triggered off. Because the moment you grasp and cling, suffering will result. Because this is delusion. You cannot see its universal characteristics or impermanent, leading to the suffering state. That's why you continue to grasp. Because you are deluded by it. You think it is real. You think it is you. There is a person there. You think the feeling that you arise is your feeling. You think there is a person thinking. There is a thinker behind the thought. You think every moment of sense perception is so real, so pleasurable, or so fearful, so insecure. So all this, if you develop this foundation of mindfulness, citta nupassana, you will see them. And it's only through this direct vision, knowledge and vision into the reality, that you understand the truth. Then you see clearly that this sankara is not what you think. You cannot grasp, you cannot cling, because they are not you, understand? They are condition arising, cause of phenomena. They come and they go. That's why they are impermanent. After sankara arise and pass away, you still around, you never die. Then how can sankara be you?
But then you always hold on to Sankara. That experience, that feeling that you have, that views and opinion that you have created for yourself, the identity that you have identified for yourself. I am so and so. I am an accountant. I am a doctor. I am an engineer. I am a politician. Then I am Chinese. I am Buddhist. So all this come from what? Sankara, understand? Your thought, your words. The concept that you create through thought, through consciousness. That's why all this, if you cannot understand, means you have not meditated. And when you develop this four foundation of mindfulness, meditation, all this will become very clear to you. Yeah. Then the last category of cultivation, the fourth foundation is what? Dhamma. So the Dhamma is about the truth and reality of this form and mind. That's why you have the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination, the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. They are all within your form and mind. That's why all of the teaching is here, the five hindrances of mind, the five aggregates of form and mind, the seven factors of enlightenment, the Four Noble Truths, the 12 link, the dependent origin. These are all the Dhamma within your form and mind, clearly reflected. So that's why within this phantom length body, this four foundation is here. You only need to develop sati to be mindful of it. Then you can awaken. That's why the Buddha's famous Dhammapada verse saying is correct. That's why he said, within this phantom length body, along with sati, mindfulness, perception and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to that cessation. So all these are interconnected. So now you understand why when you cultivate, don't look outside, anasana. Look within your own form and mind, anasana. Where the four foundations are here, inside, not outside, anasana. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they always use this phrase, Hui Guang Fang Zhao. You heard of this before, right? Yeah? Reverse the light and reflect within. Don't go and look outside and chase after all the light, the nimitta, all the energy field, all the thought-created vision. That is not the foundation that you're supposed to develop. Those are psychic meditation. Those are different type of meditation. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is very unique. And this will bring about the next condition that I need to speak on. Yeah? If you check all of the religion in this world, the major religion that claim to have the truth, of course some try to monopolize the truth, yeah, but it's not important. There are a lot of similarity among those teaching. What are the similarity? Yeah? Every religion teaches what? Do good, avoid evil. So these two, they have it. But the last part, purify the mind. There are also many religions who also teach meditation. And they thought that type of meditation is purifying their mind, leading to enlightenment. But when you look at their meditation, their teaching on the purification of mind, you realize one thing lacking. Especially in the ancient day, the olden days, all the major religions, you look at, let's quote, Christianity, then Hinduism, even all the other whatever ism. You ask yourself, their meditation is mainly based on what? Belief, understand? Belief in something. Then there is somebody who is all-powerful, almighty, that you can depend on and rely on. You only need to believe. Then they promise you after death, then you can have whatever, enlightenment and all those things. But the only religion that promises you enlightenment in the here and the now is the Buddha Dharma. Of course, there are certain type of teaching too which they believe can also bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, especially certain very good Hindu teachings. Those that understand, yes, then even some of this, what they call, like Lao Tzu, the Tao Te Ching, all those things, they have their teaching. But most of them didn't explain it so clearly like the Buddha. The only unique part I check everywhere, what I cannot find the other teaching is this quality of mind called mindfulness, sati. Everywhere you go and look around, you cannot find. Only in recent teaching, you start to see them. Like from Eckhart Tolle, power of the now. He don't call it mindfulness. He call it awareness. Jay Krishnamurti also call it awareness. Actually, sati is awareness before the knowing. The word mindfulness, if you don't understand, it creates a, what they call a wrong understanding. What is mind? Mind is your this nature within it. They can bring about interaction, cognition, consciousness, thinking and all those things. And this aspect is called the mundane mind, understand? It's not the true mind. So you say mind in fullness. That is what mindfulness is, because you all never question that word. Because they can't find an English word to actually explain what this sati is. So they use the word mindfulness. They say mind in fullness. But they never tell you full of what. If it's full of thought, then that is not sati, isn't it? Correct or not? That's why when you say mindfulness, you say, oh, mind. Full of something. Then you cannot get it, understand or not? Because you don't even understand what that word is. Yeah. Then later on, people start to develop some form of what they call understanding. But they go and do all sorts of practices and cultivation using the word mindfulness without defining what mindfulness is. Understand or not? Then mindfulness become like anything that person teach, say, is mindfulness. When you note also mindfulness. Understand? So, a lot of things become mindfulness. But the real word is sati. Sati is just awareness. Understand? Not? Of course, in the text, it says it will lead to recollection. Memory. Yes, correct. When you are aware, you can recollect. Understand? Not? But when I'm aware of something, within that moment, at any one time, your mind, when you are silent without thought, you can be aware. But you can only be aware of one thing at a time, understand not? But when you maintain general awareness, it can be aware of general thing. But at any one time, when you fix the awareness, it's only of that phenomena or that whatever thing that you place your mind on. Means if you are on your kaya, then you are mindful of that aspect of kaya. If you are on your feeling, you are mindful of that aspect of your feeling. Then if you are aware of your chitta, the content of conscience, you are mindful of just that. Then if you are aware of the dhamma, you are only mindful of that. But because mind is so fast, understand not? It's like you can simultaneously do all these things, like you can multitask. But the moment you multitask through thought, then it's no more sati, no more awareness. That's why this word sati is very important. You need to understand this to do the four foundation of mindfulness. Without a clear understanding of this word, you cannot develop this meditation. So what is the deed is very important. So the English word is mindfulness. Mind in fullness means what? If you say full of awareness, and then it's nearer, closer, understand? If it's fully aware, then there is no thought, isn't it? But they never explain. They just say mindfulness. Full of what? Nobody dare to put in the next word. Because very few people understand what sati is. So if you cannot understand what is sati, how can you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness? Satipatthana. And you look at the whole teaching. The Buddha always emphasized on what? Sati. Understand not? Because it's the first factor of enlightenment. Without sati, there is no first factor of enlightenment. Means you cannot even start your meditation. Understand not? Because without sati, you can never be heedful. Understand not? What is heedfulness? The Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 already make it very clear to you. Especially verse 21. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the deep. The heedless are accepted. So this is very clear then. Whatever meditation that you do, the first thing you must do is to develop this heedfulness, isn't it? Correct or not? Otherwise you are as if dead. You forget about meditation if you don't have heedfulness. And to have heedfulness, you must have mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you can never be heedful. Where heedfulness got two parts, like I explained to you all before. First part is ever mindful. That's why in meditation, you train your mind to develop this, then stabilize it, then you are ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And then it becomes heedfulness, understand? Or the four foundations of mindfulness, then it becomes heedfulness. So without heedfulness, you cannot start. So that's why finally, everything comes back to mindfulness. And you look at the Noble Eightfold Path factor, which is the basis of the Buddha's teaching, which is the meditation as taught by him. The first path factor is right view. This one most teaching has, most religion has. They tell you, you must have right view with regards to what they believe in. They will tell you, they are so-called whatever, God or what, is what and what and what. So this is supposed to be their right view. So there is some form of right view. Then they also have right thought, right speech, right action, isn't it? Because they also have their commandment. They also have their precepts. So these are very similar. So the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you look around, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood are quite similar with major religion that teaches the truth. Then you have four right effort to cultivate wholesomeness and do away with the unwholesomeness. Then you have the next one is what? Only the Buddha teach right mindfulness. Understand? Samadhi, most religion also have. They call it right concentration. But the Buddha call it samadhi. He never call it concentration. That's why the difference is he don't do one-pointedness meditation. He don't do absorption meditation. He don't do energy field meditation. He developed samadhi, born of mindfulness. So the only missing link in the whole teaching is this factor, the path factor of sati, or mindfulness, or awareness. So all of the religion, the major religion, I have been checking around during the early day. They don't have this word. That's why it's very difficult for them to awaken. Whereas the Buddhists, we are very lucky because Sakyamuni taught this in very, very detailed manner. That's why the whole four foundation of mindfulness, there is a longer version
They call it the Maha Satipatthana Sutta. You know what is Maha, isn't it? A great one. Because they got this, what they call, three types of Nikaya. Nikaya, they got this, what they call, Digha Nikaya. Digha Nikaya is the long, they call it the long discourse of the Buddha. That's why it's all Maha. Maha Satipatthana Sutta. Then they got the middle length. They call Majjhika Nikaya. Understand? Then they got the shorter version. They call it the Sanyutta Nikaya. Then these three are the major division within the what they call, you see the Tipitaka, they got three baskets in it. The Vinaya, then the Sutta, Anasana. This Sutta is where the discourse of the Buddha is. So just now the subdivision of the Sanyutta Nikaya, Majjhika Nikaya, and the Digha Nikaya are the three type of discourse that the Buddha spoke on, and they compile it. The long discourse they put under Digha Nikaya. The middle length they put under Majjhika Nikaya. Then the short one is all Sanyutta Nikaya. Then of course in between there are others, like Dhammapada, then I cannot remember, Kudanka, don't know what, many, you go and read. But not so important. The main thing is, if you go through the teaching, he emphasized a lot on sati. That's why he teach not only Satipatthana Sutta, he teach the Maha Satipatthana Sutta. How to develop this meditation on the four foundations of mindfulness, finally leading to the enlightenment like what I have recited to you just now following the sutta. If you diligent, like we went through just now, within 1 week, you can become enlightened. At least anagami. If there is no more what they call the little defilement, or minor conceit and all those things, you can become arahant too. So this sutta is very unique, very important, and very, very special. So like I explained just now, the difference between the teaching that the Buddha teach and other major religion is just this mental faculty of sati, or mindfulness. So now we come to define what mindfulness is. Because if you cannot understand mindfulness, you cannot develop this meditation. And you cannot develop this understanding. Okay? So what is mindfulness? We have to really get this correct. Sati. The equivalent English translation is, they always use this, mindfulness. Then for the sake of Ingbi, she just walked in. Just now we went through. This word mindfulness sometimes can be quite misleading. There are two words, isn't it? Mind in fullness. But they never tell you full of what? If full of thought, is that sati? It cannot be sati. So full of what? There's another word missing. Full of awareness. Understand not? Full of awareness. Now, if you are fully aware, then there is sati. So what is sati? What is mindfulness? What is sati? The word is here, isn't it? Full of awareness, isn't it? What is awareness? When you are aware of something, when I am aware, means what? Attentive, understand? Just aware, understand? Before the knowing, understand? Like the baby.
There is no memory, nothing. Nobody teach the baby anything. So he see things as they are, understand not? He's aware. The baby is aware, understand not? But he doesn't know what this color are, what this thing are, understand not? He see things as they are, understand not? You never see, because you too much knowledge, too much conditioning. Your brain, you learn too much. And your knowledge tell you what? Oh, flower, lotus, color, Guan Yin, Buddha. Is that the real see? You are seeing concept, words, and idea. You never see things as they are, understand not? They say, how can you see? Sati is just aware. Before the labeling, before the knowing, before the concept, before the word. That's why you all can never understand. Well, nobody really did it and awakened to it. And very, very rare do you come across a being who can understand that. So, when it comes to sati, I already give you a hint. Mind in fullness. Full of what? Full of awareness. So awareness is what? Sati is awareness, actually. But we have to make it more clear. Awareness before the knowing. Understand not? So you add in this word, awareness before the knowing. What is knowing? How do you know it's a flower? How do you know it's a Buddha image? How do you know it's Kuan Yin? Yeah, your knowledge and your perception, isn't it? The moment you arise your perception, then through memory you recall, then it come out, isn't it? So, if sati is awareness before the knowing, means what? Means before I perceive, understand or not? Before I create the word and the concept. Understand? That's why when you see something as they are, there is no word. Understand not? That reality, that conscious. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. No word, no labeling, no concept. Understand not? It's just that consciousness of it. Understand not? And that consciousness everybody has. Understand not? But because you are so conditioned, you got too much knowledge. That's why you straight away want to labor. Understand not? And you have been so habitual. Because your conditioning. Because you use thought. I use the word rampantly. Understand not? Thought is a tool for you to use to live life. Understand not? To understand life. To develop whatever understanding that you need to, understand, and to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But you use thought rampantly to think and become heedless, to arise the hindrance of mind, to arise the evil root, to arise the delusion that condition you to grasp, cling, and hold. It is because of this you get yourself entangled in life. That's how suffering comes to be. Understand now? That's why when you do not understand the purpose of thought, without mindfulness, without the Dhamma, without all this understanding, you don't know how to use thought. Understand now? Because without right view, the user of thought is deluded. Understand now? So when you are deluded, the moment you use thought, thought become what? Yeah? Thought become what? If the user is deluded, thought become? What type of thought? Wrong thought. Born of delusion, isn't it? So when your thought don't have right view, when the user of thought don't have wisdom, thought become wrong thought. So how can you cultivate using thought-based meditation? Understand? And what does thought do? Thought divide. Divide through what? Through words, through concept, through idea. Understand? That's why you got the three period of time created by thought. If I have not done that, I would have what? This is how you suffer, understand not? Because this is not the reality. This is what the thought tell you. Understand not? The reality is the here and the now. Whatever that is there and that. Understand not? That's why you see things as they are. Not what your thought tell you. Not what your mind through the conditioning tell you. That's why through the conditioning of your mind, your views and your opinion, you react to what you see. That's how your hindrance of mind come about. That's how suffering comes about. And all this, you can never understand until you do the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why the real four foundation of mindfulness is not what you think. Not just go to retreat, then note this, note that, then you think you have sati. When you come out into daily life, you're totally heedless. And you don't know what is going on. And that is not vipassana at all. Understand not? I don't know why people still call it vipassana. So when you develop meditation without understanding, it will become like that. That's why it's not easy. That's why this word, if you don't get it right, you cannot start. Understand not? If you don't even know what is sati, how can you develop satipatthana? Understand not? Means foundation of mindfulness. Then within this four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, you have to develop the contemplative wisdom to insight into it. Maybe for the benefit of Ingvi, we repeat this one. The four foundation, they are the kaya, the vedana, which is a feeling. Kaya is the physical body. Then citta is the content of consciousness. Then dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. These four foundations, they have similar words that follow. The first foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, you develop kaya nupassana, anasana. And this one I have explained, I think, in the blue book, the transcript just now I gave to you. Nupassana got these two words. Let's say kaya nu, then pasana. Pasana is to insight into. This nu is contemplative wisdom. That's why the Buddha, when he teach contemplative meditation, he used the word Buddha nu sati. Sati is mindfulness. Nu is contemplate with mindfulness. Nu sati. Then you got Dhamma nu sati again. Then Sangha nu sati. Means you develop contemplation on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Then you develop contemplation on the Dhamma. Then you develop contemplation on the Sangha. So that you understand what these triple gem are. And why are they so important? Why you must take refuge? So that your faith is very strong. So all this come about because there is this nusati. They even contemplate on the dead, the death. He call it marana nusati. Nu is contemplate. Sati is mindfulness. So using mindfulness, you contemplate on all these contemplative wisdom objects. So pasana is like the word vipassana. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. Pasana is to insight into the three characteristics of nature. So when he asks you to develop this foundation of kaya nupassana, means what? Using your body, any part of your body or your kaya, you must contemplate and insight into the characteristic of nature to awaken, to become enlightened. This is the purpose of kaya nupassana. That's why he never used the word kaya nusati. He said kaya nupassana. And the Pali words are very clear. So when you understand, just like the word mindfulness, don't be gullible. People just accept, never question. This word mindfulness, I have questioned since day one now. I keep on asking around when I started the cultivation, what is this mindfulness? Why they use this word? Mindful of what? Nobody can explain to me. Until later on, I found out myself through my own cultivation. Then I realized this word can be very misunderstanding. But they never complete this word. Mindful of what? They never tell you. But they themselves also, I believe they don't understand. That's why they just use this word, mind in fullness. Yeah. Means when your mind is in fullness, you cannot think maybe. Yeah. That's why no thought. But the more important word is awareness before the knowing. Yeah. If you have this in mind, then it's very easy to develop sati, isn't it? Means the moment I'm silent without thought, without perception, without sankhara, I'm already mindful. Understand not? So to be mindful, you don't have to do anything. Understand not? To be mindful, you only need to be silent. Understand not? The moment you are silent, you are, sorry, I use this word, you all SMS, don't you understand? This one I have explained to you all in the meditation class many times. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So don't try to do anything. Don't try to note here, note that, and make your thought active. Understand not? Don't even try to understand when you meditate. You're just silent. That's why the moment you are silent, all of the understanding will come. That's why this blue book, the one I gave out, the transcript, explained it very clearly. Yeah. I have delivered a lot of talk on this, but somehow very few people can really catch it and understand. Not until it become a transcript. So that's why when Sui An, during the early days, I think last year, immediately after the talk, very funny, you know, he just sent out for sharing by Kayanamitta. Then I saw, then I on it to listen. Because I knew that night I spoke something. The question was very good. Especially the last question by Ingbi on Samadhi. Then I listened, then I realized the whole talk was so beautiful. That's why I suggested the transcript and it became completed. So actually it was completed immediately, I think, after the Chinese New Year, but Chor Sam or Chor Si, I think. Ingbi passed it to me before the Chinese New Year. I think the last 2 days before Chinese New Year, the master copy came. Then I checked through and I sent it for further study. Then I only collected it after, I think, I came back from Alostar. So that's why this one is still hot from the oven. I supposed to give out in the March retreat, our coming retreat at this Cameron Highland, San Pao Se, or Triple Gem Monastery. But there is this condition. That's why I said, it's okay. I will give it out to those that attend the class. So before that, we had two sessions. Earlier on, one was, I think, Chor Pa La at Joyce House. We had a first round, then we distribute to some. Then last night, a group of Tuesday class, Kanyamita, we had a dinner. Then we give out too. We had a short discussion. And today, yours is the first class, immediately after Chap Goh Meh. So that's why you all are, in a way, very blessed, very lucky. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So go back and read this book. It is very important. for you to understand meditation, so that you do with understanding. So that now you know, the moment you are silent, you are already aware in sati. You don't have to do anything. You just silent your mind. But like I explained in the blue book, the problem with most living beings is you cannot be silent. You think a lot because you are so heedless. And why are you heedless? I already explained, like the Buddha explained. Because the five hindrances are there. You have been so heedless throughout the day, most of the time. And this has become habitual, understand? Habitual tendency. That's why every moment you see, you got too much knowledge, too much views and opinion, very capable, understand? You comment already, you react already. Then your like, dislike, sensual desire, it will all come out already. Your duality all come out. Then how can you be peaceful? How can you be silent? You don't want to think also cannot. The thought keep on coming out. So how can you meditate? So what are you going to do when you know that? A lot of people don't know. They go and fight the hindrance. They go and suppress and control the hindrance. As well. Then they come up with a lot of skillful means, to concentrate this, concentrate that, to do this and do that. Various type of method and technique to overcome all those hindrances of mind. But actually the Buddha never teach like that. The Buddha never asked you to go and develop all this. The Buddha just under the Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of cultivation is it. Cultivate mindfulness on the five hindrances. Means what? Just aware that they are there. Understand not? That's it. Then you will come to know how they arise. How the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Means how it arises in your mind. How it stirs from there. And then you will trace. Due to your heedlessness. Your wrong view. Understand not? Then this is the one that make you not mindful, lack of peace. So the moment you understand all these things, what must you do? What must you do? You don't go and suppress, control and fight, you know. It's just like they don't understand. They say anger. Anger is what? Evil root. So what they do? Next time when people disturb them, they say, no, I must not get angry. So what they do? They suppress their anger. They try to yanna. Without understanding, understand? Means they say patient. Means what? They try to suppress their anger. Because they say, I'm a Buddhist, no, I'm a meditator, no, I must not get angry. No. That is not wisdom. No. The Buddha never teach like that. No. Understand? The Buddha asks you to trace the origination factor. No. How does anger come to be? Before you are angry, there was no anger. No. Then when you understand, retrospectively, reverse it. And that is the wisdom that you need to develop. And to develop that wisdom is very easy, the Buddha said. You only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. That's why he teaches you the puja. Develop the sadha, the faith. The virya, the spiritual zeal. Then the mindfulness, the sati. To see all this, to understand all this. Then retrospectively through understanding, just reverse it. Reverse it means what? Don't fight, don't react, don't do anything. Don't go and note here and note there. Just silence your mind. Then you will see that thing slowing down, subsiding. Even the anger will subside. It will cease by itself. When you don't give it any more mental energy to move, it will become silent. It will become still. You will enter pasti. That's why the whole meditation becomes different. Understand not? Then when your faith is very strong, there is no more doubt. Then when your faith is very strong, your mind is very composed, restlessness cannot arise. Understand? Then when your virya is very strong, it will drive you to develop mindfulness. When you have mindfulness, the hindrance will cease to be. Understand? When you are mindful and aware, you cannot think. Understand? You cannot react. Understand? Your mind cannot stir. Understand? Then when virya is there, you don't have sleepiness, sloth and torpor. So that's why the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, you only need to train and develop them. Through what? Through your puja, through your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. through understanding who he is, through the various contemplative wisdom, Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati. These are the ones you're supposed to develop the contemplative understanding through the second turning, to develop that type of initial wisdom to allow you to have the understanding to move on with the cultivation. So if these are not understood, it's very difficult for you to progress, understand or not. What do most people do, meditator? They go there, they ask, can you teach me how to meditate? Means what? They ask for method and technique. Then they gullibly believe and just follow instruction without questioning the instruction, without finding out what is meditation, without even want to find out what is sati. That's why you must develop meditation or cultivation with understanding. So for today, I will spend more time on this word sati, because without this understanding, you cannot actually progress. You cannot actually go into the practice. That's why last time when people asked me to talk about the four foundations of mindfulness, I actually very reluctantly spoke a little bit. Because the real cultivation cannot start until you understand what sati is, until you have developed a stable daily mindfulness. That's why kaya nupasana, the first category of practice is you have to train your mind to develop sati through what? Through anapanasati. After that, mindfulness of the four postures will follow. Anasana. If you don't do this, you cannot reach the third category of practice, which is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. That's why you have to be ever mindful. Anasana. Full of awareness, ever mindful, to cultivate the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path. So, all this is what the four foundation of mindfulness is. So, we cannot really go into it until you have developed the understanding of what sati is. So, now you see the picture. Eh? For so many years, I have been trying to get this message through. But it looks like it's not easy. Eh? Even after so long, I don't know how many can really get it. Only a handful. So, you have any question or not? Yeah? So far? Because this is a very, very important sutta. Huh? Like I explained, the Buddha guarantee you enlightenment in the here and the now. Maximum. How long? 7 years. Not that long. Understand now? It's maximum. Fastest is what? 7 days, 1 week only. So it's very fast there. Our Sunday class, one week, very fast there. So next week you come back, you may be awakened already. So it's possible, understand? You must have faith. You must have the spiritual faculty, sadha virya, then cultivate your sati. When sati is there, everything becomes possible. When sati is not there, nothing happens. That's why the Buddha say you must have heedfulness. When you are heedful, you never die. You are destined for enlightenment. And it's so easy just to be heedful. Understand not? To be heedful is just ever mindful to cultivate. That's why you must develop this mindfulness, stabilize it. Then constantly cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. Initially, it's the four foundation of mindfulness. Then when you have developed the insight, then you need to complete the other balance of Noble Eightfold Path factor. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is the final cultivation. And that is under Dhammanupassana, the last category of mindfulness cultivation. Mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which covers the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, any question so far? What's the time now? Oh, exactly 4:30. Halfway point. So today's meditation maybe we just do a shorter one. Huh? You have to go back and read. Huh? So that I don't want to waste my time repeating all those instructions. Huh? Because the mind simply matter all very clearly explain the hindrance of mind, the five spiritual faculty, how to do it, how to feel, and how to develop the meditation. It's all explained here. So that we can save more time on the cultivation. Any question or not, you better ask. Don't worry about your question. I understand a lot of you are very shy, very scared. But there is nothing to be shy. If you just want to ask to develop understanding, you should ask. So the general outline, you got the picture. Means you know what this four foundation of mindfulness is capable of. The Buddha said it's the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the overcoming of grief and suffering, for reaching the right path, for the realization of the right enlightenment, which is Nibbana, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. So if you have confidence in the Buddha's word and his teaching, then you should cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness. And to begin, you must have sati. And how to develop sati? The first category of cultivation under Kayanupassana, the Buddha already explained clearly. You train your mind using anapanasati. But I already explained in the blue book, you can start with the mind sweeping method, then you can combine with metta, then after that only you develop anapanasati. Because most of those who never cultivate, they are heedless. And when you are already heedless, your habitual tendency is already so strong, you need some skillful means to help you decondition your heedless thinking. And the fastest and the best way to decondition your heedless thinking is the mind sweeping method. There is no other way. Then after that, develop the five spiritual faculty. Then you do anapanasati. That's why we start our meditation with puja, to develop your spiritual faculty, your faith, your sadha, leading to the virya. Then you pay respect mindfully. Then you silence your mind, train your mind to develop the sati. Then use it to meditate. That is what the meditation is all about. Not to go and simply follow instruction without understanding. They ask you to note this, note that. You just gullibly do without understanding who is noting. When the thought is actively noting, how can there be sati? Because the definition is already very clear. What is sati? Ah, yes. You got a question? Ah, yes. Yes.
Sorry, I repeat my question.
You just
mentioned that Buddha does not teach one-pointedness. Neither does he teach absorption.
Yes.
So if these two teachers are not brought about by Buddha, then why are things make so complicated for we beginners?
Okay, very good. Very good question. You see, the Buddha, before he really developed the enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, he actually was doing this one-pointedness meditation and this absorption meditation. That's why in India during that time, jhana, kasina, you heard of kasina? 40 type of one-pointedness meditation objects, like kasina, earth kasina, water kasina, and the various type of kasina. All these were very popular. But the Buddha, despite excelling in all this, finishing all the eight jhana, he's still not enlightened. Understand? That's why the two teachers that taught him, Udaka and what is the other name already? Alara and Udaka, I forgot already. The two teachers that taught him the what they call to reach the eight jhanas. The other one teach him until the seven jhanas. These are formless jhanas. So, despite diligently following the instruction and cultivating and excelling in all this type of meditation, the Buddha realized he still have not liberated from birth and death. He still know that he has not completed his journey. He still know that he has a long way to go. That's why he left them and he went his own separate way. Then he diligently cultivated. But as he continued to cultivate, he realized one thing very wrong. He said, I need food. I cannot go on austerity. I cannot keep on developing this ascetic type of cultivation. Means you try not to eat. You try to just go the what they call Dutanga way, the austere way. Yeah? Thinking that through self-mortification, you will pay back all your bad karma. Then once all your bad karma is gone, then possibility of enlightenment will be there. So what he did was, when he started to eat, the other five ascetics that follow him left him. Understand? They say the Buddha is not serious. The Buddha to be is not serious anymore. So because of that, they left him. Then he was alone. Until Sujata brought the milk rice, remember? Before the night before his enlightenment. Then he saw the sign. Because after he finished that milk rice, the bowl, he actually made an aspiration. He said, if he is destined for enlightenment, let this bowl flow upstream against the stream. And he left the bowl there. And really that bowl went up. That's why he was full of confidence. Then he made that vow. Not until he awakened after his sin, even until the blood all dry up, or the whatever, all this body die also, never mind. He will not rise from that spot. And that night when he meditated, he didn't develop all those one-pointedness. He just developed anapanasati. Then from there, he just went up into the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why under the Satipatthana Sutta, he mentioned it very clearly. The first email compilation that I gave to you all in the appendix is at the back. The Satipatthana, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, not Satipatthana. The first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, you go and read. It stated very clearly there, the Buddha himself at that time, he said, not after he has understood this Four Noble Truths in its three turning and 12 aspects, he cannot proclaim to be the fully enlightened one. That's why the Four Noble Truths and the three turning is what he did. And the Buddha with such parami still need to do that. What more the living thing? That's why the four foundation of mindfulness he teach is all about mindfulness. He never talk about concentration. Understand? He never talk about focusing. He just say aware. Understand? Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. He never say focus at the nostril. Understand? Concentrate somewhere. He never say that. But anapanasati has been taught in a different way. Note the feeling, they tell you, at the tip of the nostril. Then develop focusing. You go and check the sutta. It's all about mindfulness. Sana. So, we are not here to try to be right or wrong. Sana. That is not the purpose. The more important one is, you have to understand clearly, in the name of meditation, what are you doing? And whatever that is being taught, what does it lead you into? Does it lead you into some understanding or wisdom that will enable you to understand clearly who you are, what is form and mind is all about, what is five aggregate of form and mind is all about? That's why the first noble truth the Buddha explained, the noble truth of suffering. He said there are eight conditions, which are the realities of life and existence that can condition suffering.
And what are they? The Buddha said, birth, old age, sickness, and death. Without wisdom, when you confront them, suffering will arise. Then separation from loved one. Then when you are with people whom you don't like. Then when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, suffering is the result. And then the last final summary is the most important. What did the Buddha say? In short, he said, it is due to your delusion that conditioned you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind. Upadana khandas, the five grasping aggregate that I call dukkha. That is the teaching. Means what? You meditate to understand what is this five aggregate of form and mind. How when you deludedly grasp and cling and hold on to them, suffering is the result. And that is the teaching. He never asks you to go and concentrate and develop. But there is no doubt, for those who do concentration and jhana, if you come out of it and develop this contemplative wisdom and mindfulness, wisdom and insight, you can also become enlightened. That's why during the Buddha's time, a lot of the people at that time, they practiced the jhana, the concentration, the one-pointedness, the absorption. And later on, because of the Buddha's teaching on this mindfulness thing, a lot of them become enlightened too, awakened. But you have to come out of it, release the concentration, and come into daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, and to develop the clarity of mind, to insight into phenomena, to insight into the characteristic of nature. That's why the uniqueness of his teaching is the characteristics of nature. Anicchang dukkang anatta. That's why he even talked about the defilement of insight. You know what is defilement of insight? The thing that prevents you from enlightenment. It's a very, very advanced meditative experience, but it's a defilement. If you cling on to that and deludedly believe that this is enlightenment, you get caught. The first one is obasa. You know what is obasa? See light, nimitta. All the one-pointedness people do one. Because all those become psychic field. Understand? Like you have fantastic meditative experience. This is one of the defilement of insight. Then you develop and cultivate until you like continuously mindful throughout the day. This is also another defilement of insight. Because you will go and compare with the sutta, or you will relate this experience, say, hey, I heard the book say, or the monk say, or the teacher say, if you are continuously mindful, aware, you are already arahant. If you believe that, it becomes a defilement. You get trapped there, and you don't progress. Then you become too eager to teach, to share. Then you get yourself into all those what they call entanglement that you cannot understand. Then later on you realize there is a lot more to what you think. Yeah. Then later on, somehow because of what happened, they will lose their ability to maintain that type of energy field or psychic ability. Because when they use that one-pointedness energy or absorption meditation energy, they can, like, throughout the day, their mind silent, still, very mindful. Because no thought. Understand? No thought means what? The one-pointedness kill all the thought. Understand? Because everything is focused there. And when you focus there, what happens? The energy field build up, understand? You cannot think, understand? We are all one-pointed, understand? That's why you look at the jhanic factor. The five jhanic factor is what? Those who do jhana. What are the five? Vitaka, vichara, then piti, sukha, ekagata. Ekagata is one-pointedness. Out of these five, which one is the enlightenment factor? Only one, piti. Understand? The other four are not enlightenment factor. So if you do jhana, it's like the Buddha's time when he followed that two teacher, Alara and Udaka. He cannot break free. He get caught. That's why the other enlightenment factors are not there.
Sati is not there. Then Dhamma investigation, Dhamma vichaya is not there. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. You cannot develop the understanding of the law that governs life and existence. That's why with the Dhamma, when you develop sati and investigate into his teaching, then when it stands up to investigation, it's like a shortcut, understand? You no need to go and do research to look for prototype, understand? The Buddha already lay out his teaching. It's like a prototype. You just use it, understand? So that's why when you investigate into the Dhamma, then you realize it stands up to investigation, what happened? Your faith in him become very strong, understand? And then the spiritual faculty of virya, spiritual zeal, comes about, become very strong. And that is the third enlightenment factor, understand? Then when virya arises, it will stimulate you to cultivate the sati, the mindfulness. Then your mindfulness stabilizes. Then what happens? Your mind becomes silent, quiet, piti arises. Not in concentration one. Through the mind that is aware, without thought. Not one-pointedness. And that piti is the real one. And that piti will not lead to sukha. The one-pointedness one lead to sukha. That piti will transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is stillness of mind, silent mind, without thought. And that is the fifth enlightenment factor. Then when pasati become very stable, when you can have that type of mind in the midst of life, that becomes samadhi. And samadhi is not concentration. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Means when your pasati becomes so stable, when your mind is in sati and it has stabilized, means every moment of awareness, there is this stability of awareness that will accumulate into what they call pasati, and when it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Means what? When I see something, when I hear something, last time I react, understand not? My mind stir. But this samadhi is very different. When you have samadhi, because you have trained your mind until it is so stable, so what they call collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when I see something, hear something, or think of something, it doesn't waver anymore, understand? The mind is collected. And that's why I can see things as they are, understand? When it waver and stir, then my sankhara move, understand? Then I cannot see things as they are. So because of that, there is no samadhi. So when samadhi develops, there is the sixth factor of enlightenment. Then with sati and samadhi, you keep on seeing things as they are. Your mind doesn't stir anymore. Your mind doesn't react anymore like last time. Then there is clarity. Then you can insight into phenomena. Then you can awaken and you can become enlightened. That's how the last factor of enlightenment, upeka, equanimity, come to be. Equanimity or upeka come about through wisdom. When you see things as they are, and when you insight into the characteristics of nature, when you have penetrated anicchang dukkang anatta, means when you have understood and awakened to the characteristics of impermanent suffering state and empty nature or non-self nature, then there is no more delusion. There is clarity. There is wisdom. There is understanding. Then your mind, no need samadhi already. Upeka, equanimity of mind is always there. Then that time, even when you get old, no more energy, cannot develop all the concentration, cannot develop all the samadhi, you still no more suffering. You still very beautiful because wisdom is there. That's why wisdom free, liberate, nothing else. Energy feel attenuate. That's why all of the anusaya, or what they call latent tendency, they are not rooted out when you do one-pointedness meditation. They are all suppressed because it cannot come out because the energy field, the conditioned state, it makes you like enlightened. Your mind is so still, the energy field is so strong. You are like an enlightened being. But when you grow old, it's all inside this note. You go and read the last question that MB asked, it's all explained there. When you grow old, as you approach old age sickness, you still have fear. You still cannot understand what is going on. Because at that time you are too weak and too fragile to develop the energy field anymore. Then you start to have doubt. How come last time when I was able to do all this jhana, everything, it was so still, so perfect, so wonderful. Now you lose them. You cannot do it. That's why there is fear, there is doubt. And during that time, they actually quite pitiful, quite miserable. So it's not so easy. For those who go that way, you don't have the Dhamma to help you to come back to the right path and to actually develop the actual cultivation. If wisdom has yet to be developed, then the cultivator can still have suffering as they ages. As the reality of the First Noble Truth confronts them. As they confront the First Noble Truth reality of always sickness and death. Then even that time, they still have views and opinion. They still have attachment to the world, to their loved ones and others. Then of course those who did the formless meditation, they still attach to that state. Like the two teachers, Alara and Udaka, they believe that it's the eternal state there. But they live very long in that formless jhana rhyme, the 8th and the 7th jhana. It's like the longest one is, I think, 20,000 world cycle one, I forgot already. Or 80,000, I forgot already. They exist there for very, very long. Okay? Does that answer your question? Yeah. push it out all the way. Okay. Can. No more battery. Okay. Can, yes. No. Don't get me wrong. How can you be without thought? A dead man has no thought. You are not dead. You are living. You will have thought. But thought is to be understood. Understand or not? So, meditation, you need to develop with understanding that you can reach a state that is without thought. Understand or not? You can just silent, isn't it? A lot of people can only do that when they are in a retreat. Understand not? In a retreat, because you seldom talk, you seldom interact, most of the time you are quiet and peaceful. So what happens? After a few days, you settle down. Understand not? Then you become very peaceful, very quiet, very still, like no thought. Understand not? At that state, it's possible. But you can only do it in a retreat. What for? When you come out into light, you become heedless again. So what the Buddha teach under the four foundation of mindfulness is, in the midst of life, you can be in that state, samadhi. Not necessary in a retreat condition. And you have to do it to find out whether it's possible. Because I did it, that's why I can tell you it's possible. And I did it when I was working. I was having a family, children. And of course, I took very long. It took me 3 years of serious, continuous cultivation. I'm not that lucky to do it in 1 week. So it's something that you have to find out yourself. And our sharing here is not about right and wrong. Please don't go out and argue with people. Don't go and quote me without understanding. Don't go and say, Brother Teo say this, Brother Teo say that. Then you get yourself into trouble and you get me into trouble. Understand not? Our sharing is just as Dhamma friends. Understand now? Whatever that you can benefit and make use of, use it. We are not here to argue about right and wrong. Right and wrong will not bring about any benefit to anybody.
it will bring about wrong speech. Understand not? It will bring about division, argument. Then you go and quote, Brother Teo's technique is silent. Oh, then I die. I never say this is a method. Understand not? This is an understanding. Understand not? When you understand that the moment you are silent, you are really aware. So what is there to do in a meditation? I just go in, relax, and silence my mind. But the trouble with human beings is they are so heedless, they are so conditioned through the hindrance of mind. Because you know why you are conditioned. Throughout the day, what you do? You react to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. Understand? Because you got a lot of views, a lot of opinion, a lot of preference, a lot of craving and desire. And you got a lot of knowledge. You think you know. That's why you want to be right. So what is happening is, throughout the day, every moment of sense experience, you react. Means what? You not only react, no? After that you go and think. No? Then you get yourself more and more worked up. No? Then you go and say, you know, this guy, the next time I see him or her, I'm going to tell him off. The end of what? You are not cultivating already, understand? Your mind is actively thinking, reacting, planning, scheming, and doing all those what they call scheming. Then throughout the day, you think a lot. Understand? Then when you go to office, you got a lot of fear. Deadline cannot meet. Understand? Because there is no clarity of mind. Understand? Then you worry worse. What is worry? Restlessness of mind. Hindrance of mind. Your spiritual faculty totally not there. That's why when you continuously react to sense experience, what is going to happen to you? It's going to become a habit, understand not? And you know what is a habit? Habitual tendency. You react very fast, understand not? Like your children say something, immediately come out already. Understand? Because you already argue with that kid and react. I don't know for how long. That's why no need to think on. Straight away the boy says something and say, boy, I already told you not to. Come out already. The anger, the frustration, the reaction. Why? Because it has become a habitual tendency. And habitual tendency is what? It's something that is very difficult to change, understand not? But it's a habit, the way you talk, the way you react, the way you reply. So if throughout the day you have this sensual desire and you will like and dislike pleasant and unpleasant sense experience and reaction of mind, you become heedless, isn't it? Correct or not? Throughout the day you think a lot, you worry a lot, you plan a lot, you scheme a lot, you want to do this, you want to do that. You think this is right. You never ask right according to who? Right according to you. So when you don't have the wisdom, you can never have right thought. So the thought you think is right according to you. It is wrong thought. So what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your delusion, your evil roots. So all these are wrong thought. Then you don't have right thought. Means what? You don't have the silent mind, the clarity of mind, to be with the moment in silent awareness, to be at peace with the moment, to appreciate life, to develop the love, the compassion, the joy in life. Like you rejoice, just now we rejoice, sadhu, sadhu. You feel very good, isn't it? But every day also you get angry and react and want things your way. This is heedlessness, understand? These are evil roots, root of all evil. And you are full of them. That's why the evil roots are very evil. And the hindrance of mind hinders you from becoming peaceful, calm, from entering the meditative state of peace. So if you don't have the spiritual faculty, if throughout the day you're heedless until it becomes habitual tendency, then what is going to happen? Then every moment of sense experience, there is no awareness. You cannot see things as they are. Why? Because your thought is so active. When your thought is active, what happens? Let's say you see something. You are preoccupied with what you see. Then you labor through your thought, understand? Oh, nice, beautiful. Then there is desire for that. Then when you start to
develop that type of interaction, you are already preoccupied with that sense experience, understand or not? I call it lost in thought, understand or not? Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. When you are lost in thought and preoccupied with that sense experience, how can you be aware? How can you see things as they are at that moment, understand or not? Correct or not? Because you are reacting, planning, scheming, trying to do all those things. The negative one is the same. When you get angry with that person, then you recall to memory, that guy last night did all this, all the proliferation of thought come out. And when you are doing that, means what? You are preoccupied with that thought, understand or not? Getting more and more worked up, more and more angry. Then you determine, plan. Next time I see him, I'm going to tell him, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to. And this is what you are doing, and this is heedless. These are all wrong thoughts, understand or not? What are wrong thoughts? Make you miserable, understand? Make you fearful. And throughout the day, human beings do a lot of these things. And what are right thoughts? Thoughts that bring about peace, inner peace. Thoughts that bring about harmony. Thoughts that brings about friendship, understand? Or? Kayanimitashi. Yeah. Then when you have this loving thought, gratitude, honesty, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, goodness, these are all right thoughts, understand? Respect for people, understand? Rejoice, these are all right thoughts, understand? But human being cannot, no. See somebody get promoted, envy, jealousy come in, ah, you're that guy, he don't deserve, I better than him. This is what negativity creates. Suffering. But these are evil root. Envy, jealousy is the evil root of hatred. Why can't you just rejoice? Understand or not? See, I should rejoice because he got promoted. He must have done well. But human beings mind very cunning or selfish. They want to compare. Then they want to comment, react. So when you have this type of thought, it's very difficult for you to break free. So when there is this habitual tendency, what happens? You see, I swing this one. There is a momentum, isn't it? Correct or not? When I swing, it will continue to swing. Your habitual tendency also same, no? There's a momentum one, no? You have no need to think one. The thinking already becomes so heedless. It will be there, understand or not? So how to stop this fellow? How to stop the heedless thinking? You will have to be intermittent silence. At least one moment of silence, you know how powerful or not. This fellow didn't spin anymore. No? The momentum no more. No? So to start this fellow, you need momentum. No? You need a lot of thinking to start. No? Understand or not? But the trouble, your habitual tendency is that momentum is so difficult to stop. Understand or not? So how to decondition that heedless thinking? What do you do? You don't think like her, like she said. But how to do it? You cannot, isn't it? You don't want to think, you will think more. Clear or not? So what did I teach you in the meditation? That's why I say you just silent and feel. My sweeping method, feel, relax. Don't think. As you feel, relax from the forehead, move it down to your eye muscle, to your facial muscle, then to every part of your body. Then your consciousness starts to decondition the heedless thinking. It just feel. Any tension, any stress within or any tightness, you just relax it. You feel, you relax. No more thinking. In that process, you slowly decondition the heedless thinking. That's why after you do the mind sweeping method one or two rounds, you feel more calm, more peaceful. And then when your spiritual faculty come in, when your anapanasati come in, then automatically no more thought, understand or not? Anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. Don't try to know anything. Don't try to insight into anything. If you do that, the thought is active again, understand or not? Don't go and say, oh, this is anicchang. This is suffering. This is dukkhang. I can feel it. You die already. Your thought is so actively doing meditation. And who is the meditator? The thought becomes the meditator. You're supposed to be in silence, awareness to see what is going on and to understand how your mind get into this state, how it stir and how it get into all these mental states that condition your suffering and misery, your fear, your worry, anxiety. This is the real meditation. Cittanupassana. See the content of consciousness. See how your feeling move. That's why the Buddha said, when you have awareness, when the feeling has greed, you must be aware. Anasana. Aware means what? Means the feeling is no longer pure feeling. It has developed craving. Anasana. That's why sensual desire come to be. This is not pure feeling anymore. Anasana. Your like and your dislike, these are your sensual desire and ill will. These are part of your evil root of greed and hatred. So that's why the Buddha said, when there is this greed, or pleasant feeling and unpleasant, you must be aware, understand or not? So aware means what? That your mind has been stirred, and it has entangled itself. That's why these evil roots of greed and hatred, or sensual desire and ill will, which is the five mental hindrance, before they are there, they are not there. But now, it is there. You're supposed to be aware and find out. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the first category of Dhamma is five hindrance. So when you are aware that the hindrance of sensual desire is there, you're supposed to develop this mindfulness to find out how did the non-arisen hindrance of sensual desire come to be. Understand not? Before you have, it was not there. Understand not? Then when you silence your mind and aware, then you realize, hey, before I see or I hear or I think, my mind was peaceful. Understand? Then the moment I see or I hear something I don't like or I think, then ill will arise. Or something pleasant, then I get attracted, sensual desire arise. And then I trace the origin. Then I know how the unarisen sensual desire come to be. So when you know how it come to be, then you develop the understanding that this is through your wrong view. When you see things without understanding, when you hear things without understanding, when you think of something without the right view or the wisdom, you react, understand not? That's how the hindrance come to be. If I don't react, means what? I have wisdom, means I see things as they are. Angry person who scolded you, you get angry, is because you cannot understand what is going on. You react to what you hear or what you see. But you have wisdom means what? You accept that person for what they are. Understand not? Accept means what? Angry person say angry thing. Deluded person do deluded thing. They are just the way they are. And then I am at peace. Correct not? Then I don't have to react. So it's my view. It's not the hindrance that is the problem. It's the person who react to that seeing or that hearing with delusion, with wrong view. Understand not? If you don't have wrong view and delusion, they will not come to be. That's why in the sutta you read, you read your Satipatthana Sutta, we go to that one. The five hindrance. You go. That one is very good. Page 44. Actually, the word should be Dhamma. Don't go and use mental object. Dhamma. The five hindrances. And how, O bhikkhu, does a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma? Here, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma or the five hindrance. How, O bhikkhu, does a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the five hindrance? Here is the essence. You listen. Here, O bhikkhu, he said, when sensual desire or sensuality is present, this is the first hindrance of mind, isn't it? Correct or not? A bhikkhu knows with understanding, means he's aware with understanding, means he knows how it arises. So, I have sensual desire or sensuality. Or when sensuality is not there or present, he knows with understanding I have no sensuality. Then he understands how the arising of the non-arisen sensuality, which is sensual desire, comes to be. He understands how the abandoning of the arisen sensual desire comes to be. And he understands how the non-arising in the future of the abundant sensual desire comes to be. that he repeat for anger, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. This is how you cultivate, understand or not? That's why the sensual desire, when you have wisdom and when you understand, it cannot arise again. But this one is shortcut, understand or not? The Buddha already developed the wisdom, that's why he can speak like that. But when you start, you have to trace how the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Like I told you just now. You trace back, it's from one of your sense door, understand or not? Either something you see, or you hear, or you think. These are the very active ones. Then sometimes your smell and your taste and your tactile. That's why human being is a lot of delusion and selfishness. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. Understand or not? Never at peace one. Hot also complain. Cold also complain. Because your craving is so strong. That first part, when you can trace, means you see how it arises. Means through your reaction. Like I explained to you, your wrong view, understand not? So the next time when you see that same thing again, you already have the understanding, you shouldn't react. So you have to purify your view, understand not? To learn how to see things as they are, and to accept them for what they are. And then you realize, hey, when I do that, the sensual desire, which is a hindrance of mind that has arisen, cease to be, understand not? Don't arise anymore. But because this is the first time you got it, understand not? You have not developed the stability yet. Yeah, the wisdom is still very fragile, very weak, not stable yet. So next time you see, you waver a little bit, understand not? You get angry a little bit, or that sensual desire still arise. But you cannot stop it, understand not? And then you continue to train, understand not? Contemplate, reflect. That's why kaya nupasana, dhamma nupasana. Means you have to contemplate, reflect, and insight into that phenomena to understand it very clearly. So when you do that, one day, all of a sudden, you will come to understand. The non-arisen, sensual desire, which is a hindrance of mind, how it ceases to be. The one that has arisen. Means initially you know how this sensual desire, the unarisen one, come to be. Then you know how it ceases. Because you saw it come and you saw it go. Understand? The moment you don't cling, don't grasp, and don't react, it ceases to be. Then the next time, when you cultivate until your right view is there, even at the moment of seeing, hearing, and thinking, you don't react anymore. Then you know the non-arisen of this sensual desire in the future. Understand? Will not arise anymore. So that's why it's written here, how the abandoning of the arisen sensual desire comes to be, and he understands how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned sensual desire comes to be. So this is how you cultivate, understand? That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is not just note here, note there, understand? It's to develop understanding and wisdom. And this one got nothing to do with one-pointedness, understand? Absorption. This is just pure awareness, sati. I just aware. It is only in life I can be aware, understand? That's why it is life itself, noble eightfold path. That I can see all the hindrance arising and passing away. How I get myself entangled through my wrong view, through my lack of understanding, through my lack of wisdom, through my heedlessness. And this is how you cultivate. Understand? Thanks for asking that question. Very good. It brings about the condition to explain. Otherwise, it's very difficult. That's why you all must ask. Understand? And this is how the cultivation needs to be developed. Not what you used to hear before in the past. Understand? You hear one all very theoretical one, not practical one. Most of them you cannot apply to life one. You realize after retreat, you come out, you can be peaceful for a while, maybe 1 week or so. Maximum 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I heard somebody in Jhana told me, maximum 3 weeks. After that, square one. They still emotional. They still can get angry. They still react to life. They still unhappy. They still got fear, worry, anxiety. Then what is all those experience that they have in the retreat. Because in the retreat, they say they are like enlightened, perfect, equanimity, fourth jhana, stillness, silent, no thought, ever mindful. But come out in life, still react. Especially boyfriend didn't call already. Or somebody very close suddenly misunderstanding. Oh, they're still affected. Then when there is sickness, disease, become afflicted again, miserable again. The real test is when you confront life in the midst of living. When you go through the first noble truth reality, when you confront always sickness and death, separation from loved ones, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, you see how your mind reacts. If your mind is already peaceful, don't react anymore. I rejoice, I sadhu to you. That means you have something. That's you develop wisdom and understanding. So the best test is when your children say all those things, you don't react anymore. They say, boy, thank you so much, you are my teacher. Then you are already something. Understand now? Every time you still react, you are far from the cultivation. Understand now? That's why no matter what happened, listen, this is the best advice. No matter what happened in life, don't get angry. Cannot. Don't react. Remain silent. Then develop the metta, the smile, and radiate love and compassion. You can do that very fast, you transform. Then you see your egoic mind so aggressive, understand? No? Ever willing to react and come out. Because you believe you are very real. Understand, no? And this one must say something. Then the thought tell you. Otherwise, the boy will climb over your head. Understand, no? He will not listen to you. But how come your boy you so concerned? If it's not your boy, you can laugh and joke about it. Understand? Miss what? Attachment. You think it's your kid. Understand? No? Biologically, you give birth. Already 5:20. So fast. Today I got to stop early. Sorry about it. So we skip the meditation. Okay? You all go back and read this one. You got any more questions or not? But first day is more like introduction. So that you can get a very strong and stable understanding of what this important sutta is all about. Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mind. Just like I explained just now, I was really reluctant to teach and share this topic because I realized even if I share or teach, it will not go in during that time. Because there are more important things that you have to understand. That's why I told the clan group. They asked me to talk about four foundations of mindfulness, about meditation. I said, when you don't even understand what is sati and the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, you are wasting your time. So I started off by sharing with them the essential Dhamma. Then later on, I explained to them about sati, sakaya ditti, and all those things. And then only I want to start this one. But I haven't started this one in the clan one. So the next talk is 28th. Of this month, they invited me again. And this one I talk about Chinese New Year tradition following the Dhamma way. So that's why it's something related to life, to our Chinese culture, our tradition. But the Dhamma can apply and it's very, very meaningful, very beautiful. You understand. The Dhamma part of it is very important. And you can incorporate this into your Chinese culture. Your culture become very rich, very beautiful. But the problem with Chinese culture is they evolve through history and seldom people understand its purpose and intent. Then you don't have the Dhamma, you cannot put it into practice, and you cannot develop the virtue and the goodness and the wholesomeness out of it. Because our Chinese tradition, to celebrate all this Chinese New Year, has its great meaning, you know. You realize that Chinese New Year means what? An occasion for joy, for reunion, is it? But how many of you really have that type of joy? She got very good. But very few people, you know, because most of them, when they go back, especially those who have a lot of misunderstanding among the family member. I heard some story also. Sometimes they refuse to go back. Is it go back for what? Every year or so, kena the same, the nagging and all those things, the complaint and all those things. Because there is already a deep-rooted misunderstanding. Then they don't feel the love, understand or not? Then sometimes, before the family member come, they were happily talking. Then suddenly the family member come, everybody stop. I mean, something is wrong. Then a lot of backbiting. Means what? There is no noble eightfold path. There is no right thought, right speech, right action. There is no right view. Understand? There is no application of the Dhamma. There is no understanding of the occasion. The occasion is an occasion of joy. Understand? That's why you wish people Happy New Year. Understand? Then nowadays you more concerned with your health. Good health. Long life. Then good life and all those things. Then last time we give ang pao for the kid, for your study, so that you can study well. It's still the same. But I got one classmate, forget about study. You think we're not good at study? We are all engineers. No? He said, in Hokkien, he said, why gao ta che? Bo yong wan, gao ta che, be tan lu yon. I gao tan lu yon. Means what? Not good at study, good at earning money, making money. See, worldly people will talk like that. But you cannot say they are wrong, understand? Because their view is like that, understand? And they see this as a reality. Because the smart people, like engineers, become technical. But the one that control the money are the accountant and the financial controller and the boss, understand? So they say, Gao Tan Lu Yuan is that one, that deal with money. But these are worldly, understand not? So when you have the Dhamma, you don't look it that way, understand not? And I every time say, when I give them the ang pao, I say, okay, for your good health, for your study, and please listen to your parents, understand not? Love them, appreciate what they have done for you. That's why you have to educate them. How much sacrifice they have given you. That's why I developed the love. Then Chinese New Year is a very good tradition because you have this Chinese New Year gift, understand? When you give with generosity, understand? Then you rejoice, understand? Then in the same way, when they return that gift, both sides rejoice and you receive. And the mind state are good. And you do it sincerely with understanding. There's a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. Like a lot of kayanamita. They came over to wish me Chinese New Year. Then they also bring offering, then we also offer back. And there's a lot of joy. Then we have our discussion, our sharing. Then, of course, we also develop the kayanamita shape. So sometimes we have occasion to go for dinner or lunch. Then after that, we talk about general thing. Then we talk about Dhamma. And this is how you can incorporate Dhamma into life, into tradition. The practices that are wholesome, good, and meaningful bring forth that tradition and allow it to shine so that the meaning can be carried through, so that it can bring about a lot of good condition for the human consciousness to evolve. So these are all part and parcel of those good practices. And I recently sent out one video, you all saw it, under my Kayanamita, the Giftyism. That was a very good video. It's by this group of people, I think quite wise. They follow Gandhi one, I think. Mahatma Gandhi. Yeah. That's why those Hindu teachings are very good. Also a lot about virtue, selflessness, love, generosity. Yeah. And they can really do it in such a way through their sincerity, through their understanding, that can touch the hearts of many, that can change the world. And now they have about 500,000 members all over the world. It started with just a few very successful middle-aged professional people. Yeah. One of these ladies is Pavi Mehta. She is a doctor, eye doctor, ophthalmologist. The whole family got 24 eye doctor specialists. A very unique family. Yeah. So if you have received that video, spend some time, listen to it. It's very good, very touching. And it can teach you a lot of true Dhamma. Yeah. You see, when you have Dhamma, you will have virtue. That is the best test. If you don't have virtue, you can forget about your practice and your cultivation. Understand? When you don't have love, when you don't have compassion, when you don't have this respect, gratitude for people, when you have very strong egoic mind that want to be right, then you can say bye-bye to your practice. But when you develop a lot of humility, a lot of simplicity, a lot of understanding, then you have a lot of gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, love, joy, sympathetic joy. Then you have a lot of care and concern for the whatever. These are the virtues that will show out if you truly have the Dhamma. But if you after cultivate already, you still don't have any real virtue, then you have to check your cultivation. Understand? Because ultimately, when you have the Dhamma, you become very virtuous. You are incapable of evil, incapable of negativity. You have a lot of understanding that bring forth the love, the compassion, the care, the respect, the gratitude, the gentleness and the pleasantness, and all those good virtues, you will have them. Okay. 5:30 we should end. Okay. If you don't have any more, if you got any more questions, maybe next lesson. Next lesson we are going to start officially the four foundation of mindfulness. Then like what Ingby suggested. That's why just now for the benefit of Ingby, I repeated a few things because she was the one that actually proposed the topic and bring about the condition for us to have this sharing. She was the one that initiated it, and she spent quite a bit of time writing out all those, I think, what you call that? It's like a format to share and to teach, which was very good. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merit, then you make your aspiration. Okay, you pay respect to Lord Buddha first, then we will start. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakanta loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired And may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let his merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always, and may the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now we will do the aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Konyi Bodhisattva. Then we end. And we should also thank, I think, who donated for this? Satipatthana Sutta. Padmasuri, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this copy that you have come from the generosity of our sister Padmasuri. She go and blew it up. Now very big, very easy to read. The original copy was very small. And he put in a ring file. And this ring combined, not cheap, I think. Every combined is